Welcome to our daily reading for Monday, August 17th. We're in Romans chapter 13 today. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, and you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Romans 13 is quite a bit shorter than what we've been dealing with in the last few chapters. They've been quite a bit longer. But I would remind you that in the end of chapter 12, when we get toward the end, he talks about how to deal with those that are your enemies and those that are persecuting you. And we look at verse 19. It says, "Never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And so when he gets into chapter 13 and starts talking about the governing authorities, it's not out of left field. He's talking about their place in dealing with the evil that is around us. And I'm disturbed by the evil that is around us. I know that everybody is. This past week, there was a news report of a man that shot a five-year-old kid and killed him. It's terrible. That is just an innocent child that had so much ahead of them. And while they are innocent in the sight of God, and they will go to be with God, that's still a tragedy for the family and a tragedy for his sisters that saw it happen. And we think about that and wonder, why does so much evil exist in the world, and how do we deal with it? And there's a tendency by Christians to think it would be better if we just kind of isolated ourselves and go together and, you know, buy an island in the middle of somewhere, or, you know, some big compound, and we just never have to deal with this stuff anymore. We could never have TV to tell us about it, and we'd never have interaction with other people, but it won't work. And that's not being a light to the world, and that's not being the salt of the earth. Unfortunately, in order to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, we have to be out there in the world, and we have to deal with some of these evils. So what do we do about evil? Well, first is make sure that you're acting right, that you're not part of the evil, you're part of the good. That means that you provide an example. That means that your example provides a judgment upon others when they do not do the same things. And it means that we submit to our government. And honestly, our government does things I don't like. Our government does things that I don't agree with. However, I am to submit to them. And before you jump into thinking that we are in a different situation than the first century was, No, remember when we started off the book of Romans and I told you about how the Jews had been cast out of Rome? Then when another Caesar came on the scene, they were allowed to return. There are things that our government does we don't like. And remember that after all of this was written, there were Christians that were being persecuted and killed by their government. And yet Paul said, be subject to the governing authorities. If the government wants you to do something that is contrary to God's will, obviously you can't submit to that. God has to come first. But in everything else, I have to submit. And by the way, you know, he says, you pay taxes and pay to what is owed to them. I may not like paying taxes when April 15th comes around, but I pay it. I'm required to. That is part of being subject to governing authorities. I have to plan for it. So he also states there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And I've thought about this many times over the years, and here's the way that I think about it. God instituted the idea of government on this earth and the role of government, that government should be a terror to evil and should be a source of judgment and a source of being able to go out there and lock up or punish people that do things that are wrong so that society can be more at peace. So God instituted this government. I wouldn't necessarily take it and say that God ordained specific governments in our modern day and time. I know that there is a lot of providence that God exercised in the Old Testament, and maybe he does today. But I wouldn't necessarily take it and say, well, this terrible government that kills their people and outlaws Christianity, etc., they are ordained by God. Well, government itself is ordained by God, but I wouldn't take that specific leader or that specific government to be ordained by God in terms of him putting them in power. So, take that for what it is. That's my thoughts on the matter. I'm reading a little bit extra into what Paul's saying here, so just realize that and know that when it comes to my own commentary on these matters, that's exactly what it is, and that it holds no weight compared to what God says. So always go to what the Scripture actually says before you take anyone's commentary on it. So he says, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed or what God has put in place, and those who resist will incur judgment. I hear all the time people that want to rationalize being disobedient to their government and saying, well, my government is doing such and such, and I don't think it's right, so I don't have to follow it. Or I don't like this particular rule or law. And the simplest way that we illustrate that is speed limits. You know, I may not like it when I have a low speed limit in an area and I want to go a little bit faster. But if I'm going to be subject to the governing authorities, I have to be subject to even those things I don't like, and I've got to follow that speed limit. Otherwise, he says, you will incur judgment. So we need to be very careful that we don't adopt the idea that some things are okay to break and then be turned away at the end of time simply because we didn't subject ourselves to our government. Rulers are not a terror to good conduct but to bad. But you have no fear of the one who is in authority, then do what is good and you will receive its approval, for he is God's servant for good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. And that's what we expect. We expect justice in our society. We expect one who kills another to either go to prison or be put to death, depending on what the law is. We expect that the person that steals from me is going to be arrested, they're going to be tried and convicted, and they're going to pay for that crime. We expect some order out of the chaos that evil sows. And so we want our government to do that, and we want it to do it effectively. Now understand that government is run by people. People are imperfect. And so this is not always carried out in a perfect way. We don't always see justice. That's where I would turn you back to Romans chapter 12 and point out that vengeance belongs to the Lord. So if justice isn't done here, know that justice will be done ultimately. So one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. And then he says, pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God. But we can't have a police force without being able to pay them and pay the expenses of them. Again, there's things I don't agree with the tax money gets spent on. But I don't withhold those funds because I'm required to submit to that. I must also point out that he goes beyond taxes and says revenue to revenue, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Even when we have government officials that do and say things I don't like, I still honor them as being in authority over me. Verse 8, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. We see that again in Galatians chapter 6. We see it in many of the teachings of Jesus. And Paul sums it up in that one teaching of Jesus that was also under the old covenant, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he explained through the story of the Samaritan that your neighbor is everybody, even those that are different than you and maybe even that you don't like something about them. We have to love everybody. And he says that love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love means that I want the best for them in all circumstances. You know, if that particular neighbor is one of those that is breaking the government's laws, then what's best for them is probably to be punished, that maybe they'll change their behavior. If my neighbor is doing things that are in opposition to God, what's the best for them? The best for them is to hear and obey the gospel so that they can gain forgiveness of sins. Then verse 11, he adds, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. And now we're a lot nearer than the time in which Paul wrote this. That mindset needs to be within us, that each and every day that goes by, we're a little closer to that day of judgment, and we need to make our calling and election sure. We need to be concerned about how God would judge me if this was my last day upon this earth. I think that it's a mistake to think that, you know, we've got the opportunity to live to an old age, and then later on comes judgment, and we've got plenty of time. No. No, the whole point of the gospel was to tell us that the end comes as a thief in the night, whether it's the end of your life or the end of time. You need to be sure that you're living in a way in which God would approve you and welcome you in today. Not tomorrow, but today. He says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality, quarreling, jealousy. Wow, that's a big spectrum, isn't it? I mean, from orgies and drunkenness, quarreling and jealousy, all the way to sexual immorality and sensuality. In other words, he's just trying to cover a spectrum so that you realize no matter what sin you may struggle with, get it right. Deal with it. Use God's help. Use God's forgiveness. Lean on His grace and mercy. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Do you remember when Jesus told us that if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off? Same for your eye? I mean, the whole point is make the choices that need to be made, even if they're difficult choices. You know, if you've got to avoid circumstances or people in order to avoid certain temptations, then do so. Make the choices that you need to make in order to be faithful. All right, that closes out our looking at Romans chapter 13 for today. Come back tomorrow. We'll look at Romans chapter 14. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.